Checkmate.
This is the Chestnut Checkers Podcast.
Checkmate.
Learn a new mindset to create wealth.
We need to be more independent thinkers, man.
Passive income.
Mathematics is precise.
A successful business.
Chess moves.
And money management strategies.
This is Chestnut Checkers.
I want to talk a little bit about abundance mindset. You have to understand that money's plentiful. It's like once you realize and understand and actually take to heart that money is plentiful, you're in a whole new world, right? Just like the Aladdin song when he met when Jasmine met Aladdin, she was in a whole new world, right? Because he opened her eyes to a bunch of all new possibilities, right? When you realize the government prints up money, that's why we're in such high inflation. The government is printing up money and giving it away. So money obviously is not scarce, it's plentiful. The government literally prints it off of printing presses, just creates it out of nothing, right? So that would tell you right there, money's not scarce, it's plentiful, right? So I want to talk a little bit about Ethereum. I'm going to talk a little bit about Bitcoin. I'm going to talk a little bit about these two stocks that I think are going to blow up here in the next year or so, maybe 6 months, who knows? So let's move on. So I want to talk a little bit about Ethereum, right? So I want to talk about what's happening in the world of Ethereum and what's pushing the price up, right? Ethereum had a 15 to 20% jump last week. And people are saying, why did it jump? So how we talked about this last week on Strategy Sunday, a lot of people made a lot of money by investing in Ethereum back when I was talking about it, when it was 1,000, now it's at about 1,500, right? So back to what I was saying is that Ethereum is doing what happened last week and what caused the price of Ethereum to boost up a lot is that Ethereum is going through what's called a merge, and they set a date for the merge, right? And a lot of people say, Armando, what's the merge? What is that? What are you talking about? What's the merge? Well, we got to talk a little bit about how the history of Bitcoin, the history of crypto, and what's happening right now is there's a big change from one concept or one structure of how to create crypto is created to a new structure, right? Now, Bitcoin was the first ever crypto in history, right? Back in 2009, it came out, and the way that value, the people always said Bitcoin, what's the value in Bitcoin, right? What's the value in anything? What's the value? Where does all value come from? All value, you got to understand how economics works. All volume comes from work. Everything that you see in life is basically units of work, right? That's all it is. Right? Is that a tire? If a tire is $100, I make $50 an hour. That's 2 hours of my time for that tire. And you need to think like this also, right? Maybe somebody makes $100 an hour. It's an hour of their time. So all of it's basically in units of work, right? So all value has to start somewhere from somebody putting in some actual work, creating a value out of nothing. For example, let me take you to an example, right? So let's say I'm an artist, right? So I get a block of granite. I take this granite, which may have been free. I may have just picked it up in the forest or whatever. Let's say wood, right? Because that's better. I'm an artist or artisan or whatever. I go into the forest. I find a log. I take that log. I chisel something for next week out of it, right? A totem pole or maybe a beautiful piece of art or a statue, right? I chiseled it out. I put a week of work into this. Now I sell this piece of art to somebody for maybe $3,000-$4,000. They buy it, then they sell it or whatever, keep it in the house. That all of a sudden, something that had no value, I've created value because I worked on it. I put my work into this and I created value out of nothing. Now when I get that $3,000, I spend it on certain things and I spread the value around that way. So the way that the value came out of nothing was that I created a piece of art out of this log. So it had to be at some point, somebody had to create work to create something out of nothing. And that's where value, most of the world's value comes from, right? So proof of work, that's so the creator of Bitcoin said, look, we have to find a way to do this digitally. Right now, people can't be working or whatever, we need to do it digitally. So what he did is he said, look, in order to create Bitcoin, we're going to do what's called proof of work. Proof of work means that we're going to get a lot of computers or maybe one computer or whatever part. We're going to let all these computers be part of the system. Anybody can contribute their computer to be part of this system. And we're going to let that computer run all day, figuring out complicated puzzles all day. Right. And as they figure out these puzzles, we're going to reward them in Bitcoin. And the way that they figure out these puzzles is a type of encryption or whatever. It secures the network. So Bitcoin is secure. It's encrypted. Nobody can rob it. Nobody can steal it because so many computers are working so hard to encrypt the network, right? Proof of work. And because they put in the work, the people donated their computers or contributed their computers, and they put in so much work Now, the value that comes out of Bitcoin actually has value because it's connected to the value of people, the work that people put into the network to create these Bitcoins. So now the Bitcoins have value because it's actually connected with some kind of work, proof of work, right? So it worked pretty good in the beginning of Bitcoin. It was perfectly fine. Everything's going good, right? And then things started happening, right? So Bitcoin network got bigger. It got stronger. It got more worldwide. Now there's a problem because this proof of work concept is competitive. So now, in order for me to get more Bitcoin than you, I got to put in more work. Then there's other people putting more work. And the bigger the network got, the more competitive it got, and the more work you had to put in. Now, all of a sudden, instead of small amounts of electricity, now it's huge amounts of electricity we got to put in, right? And it started out with small amounts. I can run a regular computer and do it. Now, because it's competitive, you got to use a lot of electricity, and it's contributing to a lot of the global warming around the world. The Bitcoin network uses more electricity combined than a lot of small countries. So now a lot of these cryptos are saying, man, we got to move away from proof of work because it's not going to be sustainable, right? So what else can we do? How else can we create value out of nothing, basically? Well, how do they do it in real life? Well, people work. If I start out with nothing, there's only two ways you really can make money in life. If I start out with nothing, I could be like that artist. I can go out into the forest, find a log, and create value out of nothing. But if I'm already rich or already have money, I can take my money, my capital, and place it somewhere and get more money back. I can use my capital to work for me. And everybody says, I want my money to make money. I want my money to work for me. So there's two ways you can work. I can put in my physical work, or I can let my money work for me. Proof of stake is exactly that, right? So the two ways I create value, I can work, put the work in, or I can put my capital up. I can stake my capital in the network. And because my capital is there, because I'm taking a risk, because I have my money up, I can make a little bit of return back. So most is moving from proof of work to proof of stake. That means that I'm going to put my money up. I'm going to stake my money, and I'm going to use that money to tell the network, look, I'm a trustworthy participant, because if I fail at my job, you can have my money, right? My money is up. So if I mess something up, I rob, I steal or whatever, you're going to take my money. Just like the same thing as a bond in jail. These concepts aren't new, right? I put money, like I go to jail, I get arrested. The judge says, look, man, you got to give me $100,000 because I ain't sure if you're going to show up. So I basically do proof of stake. I give him some money and I said, look, man, if I show up, I get my money back. If I don't show up, you can take my money and use that money to come get me. Same thing with proof of stake. I can use the money or the Ethereum or whatever crypto I have. I can put it into the network, and now it allows me to validate transactions, right? And if I mess something up, I don't do something right, I steal, I rob, I do something illegal or dirty or whatever, my money's up, so they're going to take my money from me. Because I put the money up, I'm less likely to do those things. So now we secured the network another way, proof of stake, right? So that's what's happening with Ethereum. That's what's coming right now. So people think that this is going to make the network faster, stronger, more secure. The gas fees are a lot cheaper. So because people are anticipating this, the price of Ethereum is going up. And I've always said that Ethereum will eventually outpace. It's going to outpace Bitcoin for the next 5-10 years. And it's going to eventually pass Bitcoin as the number one crypto in the world. It's just a matter of time. There's too much stuff going on. There's too many things happening. There's too many options and opportunities that Ethereum has. And I've been saying this since Ethereum was at what? Remember you guys, I first started talking about it, was at like $100. You guys remember when Ethereum first came out in 2015, I saw the enormous potential. When I started buying it at $6. Now, if you know the story, I ended up selling it and gotten it back in later on. But I saw the enormous potential at first. And it still has an enormous potential to be the number one crypto in the world. And I encourage you guys to please take a look with the DeFi, with the liquidity pools, with all of these things that Ethereum provides and allows and enables. It's going to flip Bitcoin eventually. And that's what the bunny baby says, is the flipping, the great flipping. Ethereum came close in 2017 of flipping Bitcoin being the number one crypto in the world. Very close, but it barely kind of didn't happen, and Bitcoin reigned supreme during those next 5 years. But it's with enough time, we just wait, Ethereum will be the number one crypto, right? So I'm very bullish on Ethereum, right? The merge is planned for September. I got it at $6, but I end up selling it at $40. And I got back in at like $100. So this was in 2015, 16. So Web3 is also a big opportunity. And the people always say, what Web3, all this stuff, whatever. The biggest opportunity in Web3 is not the crypto. It's the enormous business potential there. And this is why I was actually at a conference, Black Future Weekend, I believe, and somebody asked me what are the biggest opportunities in tech right now. And I said, biggest opportunity by far in Web3, crypto, and all these other emerging technologies is not the actual buying the crypto. It's the career opportunities, the business opportunities. All those opportunities are the biggest things in the world. I appreciate that badge. It's Mal Aventura. Oh, thank you for that. Aventura Valado, I think it is. I can't really read it. But back to what I was saying, I appreciate the badge, though. But back to what I was saying is that this is what's going to happen. Right? This is what we need to focus on is the career opportunities. But other than that, every new opportunity, every new industry is not just what the industry is. When cars came out, you didn't have to be a mechanic. You could have been a car salesman. You could have been whoever painted the cars, whoever sold the tires, whoever did the interiors. People need customization on cars. People need somebody to pump the gas. People need somebody to maybe race some people. It opened up a whole world of opportunities. I didn't have to be a mechanic. I could have just been somebody who knows how to paint cars. Now I got a whole world of opportunities. That's what's going to happen with Web3. There's a lot of opportunities outside of being a tech. Web3, they're going to need business development. They're going to need lawyers. They're going to need a lot of things. And I even saw a concept called biotechnical medicine. And that's an opportunity in Web3, right? Is that people are going to need, because they said when people get involved in these, immersed in these environments, they're going to need a doctor that not only understands the physical being, but also the mental connection in these types of environments. So that's interesting also. So there's two things I want to talk about. There's two splits that just happened that I'm buying, there's a couple of companies, and you guys have heard of it. It's nothing new. I'm not going to drop some kind of crazy company that you never heard of. But there's a couple of companies out there that I want to buy. I am buying right now. Amazon, like I've already talked about this, is nothing new. I appreciate the badge, Tony J. So, but it's nothing new. I believe strongly in Amazon. Stock splits are normally viewed pretty favorably by Wall Street and a lot of investors also, right? They make the company shares more affordable. It increases the demand of the stocks. It does. All of a sudden, people that couldn't get to the stock, now they'll be able to get into it. So it brings the price. Normally, it brings the price up. Now, we're in a little bear market here. So it's not going to be as pronounced as it would have before if we was in a bull market. But over time, you're going to see that Amazon stock double or maybe even triple. Right, over time, with inflation, with in a recession that we may be in or maybe going to right now, Amazon is still going to do well. Amazon's not going to be hit as bad by a recession as average other companies. One, because Amazon is a semi-discount retailer. Now, everything on Amazon is not discount, but Amazon does try to, a lot of times, get the cheapest prices. So people are going to look towards that Walmart to Amazon. So Amazon stock's actually going to do well during a recession, right? And it already has. They're already US, which is their tech wing, basically, where they provide cloud services. That's going to do well. And they got so many hands in so many buckets that there's almost no way they can fail. Right. And with this stock split, which I told you guys about 2 years, people said I was crazy, stupid. Amazon would never split. And I told you they would eventually split. And it's exactly what happened. So I'm telling you now, from the same mind that told you that Amazon was split against all common knowledge at the time. And if you, who remembers that? If you remember that, drop a money back. Because a lot of people said I was crazy, stupid, arguing with me. And I told you, I said Amazon will split because it will be investor pressure that makes them split. It ain't what the CEO wants. It's what the stockholders want. And the stockholders wanted a split. So the same mind that told you that is telling you that Amazon is going to double or triple. Now, I can't give you a timeline for that. Maybe a year, 2 years, maybe 6 months. I don't know. But with enough time, we're going to see. Right now, I sell, I think, 122. It's going to be at $400 or $500 pretty soon, right? And Amazon may even be doing a dividend later. So if you get in cheap enough, you're going to make a ridiculous amount of money, right? If it does give a dividend eventually. And they could eventually, it's going to be a point in the future, like Ford, like a lot of the bigger companies, the Amazon won't be able to grow anymore. And that's when they'll convert into dividends. So a lot of times, like I said, it's two types of stocks, the growth or dividend stock. So a lot of times people take their profits, they put it back in the growth of the company. But it comes a time when the company can't grow no more. like Coca-Cola. Coca-Cola is as big as it's going to get. There's really not a lot more they can do. So instead of taking that profit, putting it back into the company, they take the profit and distribute it among the shareholders. That's what dividends are, right? More or less. So the second thing, companies out there, is Alphabet, which used to be Google, right? They did a split recently, 24-1. And I think that they're going to do well too. And the thing about it is that Google, I'm still going to call them Google, because that's still their stock symbol. So Google does make the vast majority of their money on advertising, which is scary in a recession because people do drop advertising budgets in recessions. But after we get out of recession, people start putting a lot of money back into advertising. So when this recession is over, the average recession lasts about 18 months. We're going to see a huge influx of new money back into advertising. Google, we're going to see Google stock maybe double. And I said that one time before, people said I was crazy, but I still think that they're going to double with enough time. With inflation, with the market getting bigger, I just think it will. And people say I'm crazy, but still. So that's enough for Strategy Sunday. Thank you for joining today's podcast. I really appreciate your support. If you want more wealth building information, education, and tips in stock market, crypto, and other assets such as real estate, follow me on Instagram and also on YouTube. It's the same name, Tall Guy Tycoon. That's TallGuyTycoon. The link is also in the description. Also, you can support this podcast by donations. That link is also in the description. I hope each and every one of you has a great week. And again, thanks for listening.